In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In tonight's letter from the Romans, according to Paul, if we have died to sin, we are alive to God. But have we? Have we died to sin? The answer is yes, through the waters of baptism. Yes, because we are baptized into the death of Christ, the one death that changes all death. And through Christ's death, we can be alive in Christ. We learn through Paul that though we are still in this world, in the passing age of suffering, temptation, and death, we are called and empowered to live out the righteousness that is appropriate for new life. That is what it would mean for us to walk in newness of life. And right now, we are doing it. That is a part of Holy Week, to walk in newness of life. That is a part of this vigil, to walk the path that Jesus has trod. We know that we are not impenetrable right now, that suffering, temptation, and death are still with us, yet we show up to hear the story that reminds us that suffering, temptation, and death are not the end of us. In a sense, the emptiness of the tomb actually creates for us a home. We are invited to move into the empty tomb to make for ourselves a life where we are alive in Christ. A life alive in Christ where we are always reminded of the death, always in proximity to the truth of that abundant love. An abundant love is so overwhelming that I think it can be terrifying. I think we rarely lean into the abundant love of Christ because we fear what it might do in us and how it might change us. I think we have a fear that if we were to taste true joy, then we might be faced with the crushing realization that Jesus was right. Our things and ourselves cannot save us. Only the grace, love, death, and life of God can. The greatest gift we've been given is that we don't live or die to ourselves, because it is not by the weight of sin that we are judged. It is by the power of resurrection. In other words, we believe that if we were to stand before God, we would, it's true, be positively overwhelmed as we recognize the weight and reality of our sin. However, we also believe that were we to stand before God, we would not be recognized for that sin. God would be able to see in us the Christ that is within us. God would be able to see the waters of baptism that live deep within our being. Many of you know that I don't consider myself a mystic. I'm a little bit more matter of fact than that. However, this Friday around 7 a.m. in that chapel, I had an experience I can only describe as mystical. I walked into the chapel to sit vigil after Maundy Thursday, and after an hour of prayer and sitting in the presence of Christ, it was time for me to consume the bread and the wine that had been left over. It was just Lindsay, our faithful security guard and parishioner, and I who were left praying in the chapel, and so I gave him the bread, which he dipped into the wine, leaving just a couple of swallows of wine and about 6 wafers for me. I took the first few wafers in my mouth, and as many of you can empathize with, thought the wine would help. So I went to take a sip of the wine, and when I drank the wine, I didn't taste what I find familiar in communion. I tasted bitterness. And maybe it's just that you should never chase coffee with wine, but whatever it was bad. I winced at the wine on my lips, and maybe for the first time in my life, chased wine with a wafer. And I didn't want to keep drinking it, but I did, and I finished the wine, but it just left a taste in my mouth that is almost indescribable. And the very wine that had tasted sweet on my tongue and gentle in my heart only the night before, it was gone. It was not the same wine. I can only describe that taste as death. On that Good Friday morning, Christ had died. The wine was sour. It wasn't communion at all. I couldn't feel a God in it to commune with. And standing there, quite literally dumbfounded, I felt the weight of death in a way that I can only describe as crushing. And I needed to know in that minute that being baptized into his death, I'm also baptized into his life. I needed to know that even though I could taste death, I would soon and right now taste life. I needed to let go of the idea that I could know what would be in the chalice and let the great hope of Easter be what cleansed my bitterness. Friends, our need for control, our perceived white-knuckle grip on our lives that we think is working, is absolutely the way in which we push off our greatest joy. I think we have to let go. I think it's time to realize that we need to lean not on ourselves, but on our baptism. So lean into the fact that you've done nothing to deserve life and that you face an inevitable death. But also lean into the fact that you've done nothing to deserve grace and you can do nothing to lose it. Amen.